From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. For more than 25 years, Pennsylvania journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal has been on death row for the murder of Philadelphia police officer Daniel Faulkner. Abu-Jamal and his supporters say he's innocent. He's gone through a long series of appeals to get the conviction overturned. Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court justices said they wouldn't give him a new trial. In a separate case that we've been covering on News and Notes, the Supreme Court justices also say they need more time to consider the fate of Troy Anthony Davis. Late last month, Davis was granted a stay of execution just hours before he was scheduled to be put to death. In a moment, we'll get the big picture on the courts and the death penalty with Professor Carl Tobias from the University of Richmond. But first, let's speak with Jeff Mackler. He is director of the Mobilization to Free Mumia Abu-Jamal campaign. Welcome to News and Notes.
Glad to be with you.
So for those who don't know, can you tell us why is this case important when there's so many other contested death penalty cases?
Well, we believe that there were so many violations of Mumia's rights in the past 26 years he's been on death row, that his case is actually symbolic of the fundamental flaws in the criminal justice system. But first, let me say this. The decision of the Supreme Court yesterday referred to just two affidavits that we had filed, one by Kenneth Pate, P-A-T-E, and the other by Yvette Williams. We had alleged that in both these cases, these were witnesses who refuted the central prosecution so-called eyewitnesses who said that Mumia was the killer. Kenneth Pate refuted a confession, and Yvette Williams refuted another key element of the prosecution's case against Mumia. We submitted all of these affidavits, both of these, to the U.S. to the Supreme Court in the state of Pennsylvania, where we lost. And because Mumia's final appeal will be going before the U.S. Supreme Court, we were compelled to submit the Pate and Yvette Williams affidavits proving Mumia's innocence to the Supreme Court. And yesterday, the Supreme Court rejected even hearing them. However, we have a deadline to appeal the federal court decision on Mumia, and we're very hopeful on that. That deadline to submit our petition for a writ of certiorari, which means we're asking the Supreme Court to certify that they will hear Mumia's federal court appeal, we have a deadline of October 20th. And if we get an extension, then it's 3 months after that point. So in other words, the case is still before the Supreme Court, but on the most critical issues. And the central issue is the Batson claim, coming from a Supreme Court decision called Batson versus Kentucky. And we're arguing that Mumia should get a new trial because 11 of 14 black jurors were excluded from Mumia's jury panel. We're also arguing...
Let me jump in here because you're giving us a lot of information all at once. And while we're having this conversation, I do want to point out that we did speak to the widow of Daniel Faulkner when we covered the last development in this case. This time we have a statement from the Pennsylvania State Lodge of the Fraternal Order of Police. The president is Les Neary. And he said, "We support the Supreme Court's rejection of this baseless appeal. The family of Daniel Faulkner has had to live with the pain and loss for 27 years, while Wesley Cook has had 27 years of life torturing the judicial system to allow him to escape from his death sentence." And just to clarify, Wesley Cook is the birth name of Mumia Abu-Jamal. So what I want to ask you about this is when you hear a phrase like torturing the judicial system, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not the families of murder victims have a right to see justice executed in a speedy fashion. And these death row appeals can take quite a long time. On the other hand, you see the Innocence Project and other people finding out that some people on death row are innocent. So how do you balance, in your mind, how do you balance those different aspects of speedy justice with thorough justice?
Well, I'm all for speedy justice. We know who the killer of Daniel Faulkner was. The problem is it wasn't Mumia Abu-Jamal. And we have proof positive. And that's why we're asking for a new trial. And that's why the Constitution of the United States exists, so people have the right to habeas corpus, that is, the right to present evidence and constitutional arguments regarding the innocence of your client. The worst thing we could do is, in the name of speedy trial, execute by lethal injection an innocent man. The killer of Mumia Abu-Jamal was Kenneth Freeman, we're now touring the author of a book who is an incredible writer, and he has written the definitive story of what happened. So, yes, we are for justice, and yes, we are for speedy justice, but we are also for the Constitution. That came out of a revolution in this country in 1776 where you had to give the people the right to appeal. Mumia is appealing before the U.S. Supreme Court. He has a constitutional right to do so. Anyone arguing that we should subordinate the Constitution and Mumia's life for a speedy trial and avoid his right to go to the highest court in the land doesn't know what this country is all about.
All right, Jeff, we have to...
We believe that Mumia is an innocent man, and that's why we're appealing his case.
All right.
And we're going to
Jeff, thank you. We have to move on to Professor Tobias, but thank you.
My pleasure.